This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Saturday, April 4th, 2020. The Vigil Mass of Palm Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus on the cross asks a specific question. When he asks this question, when he cries this question, when he screams this question, he cries out in two ways to which we should be attentive. Our Lord Jesus Christ cries out in reference to his sacred humanity. Our Lord Jesus Christ is truly God and truly man. Not God sometimes, man others, half God, half man, a hybrid, a mixture. He is 100% God and 100% man. And he acts accordingly. Sometimes he acts as completely God, as when he walks on water, when he raises people from the dead. And other times he acts in the capacity of his manhood. He is hungry. In the gospel during this week, that at Lazarus' tomb, he wept. And now he cries out. He shows that he is truly human. It shows that he did truly suffer for us. There's a lot of naysayers early on in church. If he was God, he couldn't have been man, so that's why he endured everything. No, he proves to us in this crying out, this outcry that he makes to the Father, that he is truly human, that he suffers just like we suffered. He cries out in his own humanity. We've got to look at this cry and understand that it is divine humanity. He is not so much crying out in complaint. His cry is one of puzzlement. It's confusion. He knows that he had to do what he's doing. He has told the Father that his will be done, not what Jesus wants, this chalice to be removed from him. He knows he has to suffer, but while he is suffering in his humanity, he cries out, again, not in complaint, but in puzzlement as to why it is taking so long. He is suffering as we suffer. This is the incarnation. He is confused why he knows his Father loves him. But he asks the question, and he is still engaged with the Father. He doesn't just say, God, would you make this stop? My God, he shows his union with the Father by that exclamation, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's not just, let this end. He asks a question. I mean, he asks specific, why? Why is this continuing to go on? We look at our Lord Jesus Christ suffering. We look at a crucifix. We can think of the sufferings. But we have to ask that question, why? Why did the Son of God have to die? Why didn't he just wave his God wand and undo our sins and make us holy and be the universalist that so many are? Everybody goes to heaven. No, he had to die for our sins. That in his humanity, he was overwhelmed by the suffering that he had to endure for our sins. And don't look at a cross and say, oh, he died for our sins. He died for us as individuals. When you look at a crucifix, why did that have to happen? Because of you. Because of me. Not collectively, but for our sins. Our sins caused his affliction, and the Father was not granting Jesus Christ immediate relief, and he was overwhelmed by this in his human nature. He was God, but he was suffering like you and I would be suffering if he's on the cross, the only difference being we would deserve it, and he did not. He did it for us. There was nothing that he gained by it. He didn't gain a place in heaven. He'd been God for all eternity. He wasn't gaining anything by it. He was doing something for us as individuals. This is a cry in human nature. I said there's two ways that he cried out, though. He cried out in his own human nature because he was suffering. And he was truly puzzled and confused. My God, why has thou forsaken me? Why are you listening to me? He also cries out in the language, so to speak, of his afflicted members. We are members of his body. He knew those in faith that would embrace him would be in union with him, and he knew that they too would suffer. Hence, when the sons of Zebedee asked to sit on his right hand, on his left in his kingdom, he said, oh, you will drink my chalice. He knew what awaited them. And when he cries out, he also cries out as an example for us who suffer. No matter what that suffering may be, a personal loss, the death of a loved one, an illness that you're enduring, trauma that you're enduring, a situation that you are enduring. When our Lord Jesus Christ cries out, he shows us how to cry out to God. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, I know I shouldn't ask why. Why would you say that? Why would you say that? Our Lord Jesus Christ, that he's perfect, sinless. And he asks his Father why. We should do it too. You can ask why if you feel abandoned by God. Because you know what? He does take a step back every now and then. He will refine us like gold is refined in the fire. He's going to remove the dross. He's going to let us know who are faithful, who are not, by sufferings. You might think people are really faithful. Then when they're confronted with a time in their life where it's demonstrated they have no control over the situation, you see how they react, and you can see whether they are a person of faith or not. Do they have hope, or do they approach the situation as being hopeless? Our Lord gives us an example. Christ is speaking as man, but he's using the words of someone from the past. He is actually quoting Psalm 22, 21 in the Douay Rheims. He's speaking as a man because he uses the words of King David, who cried out to God in his tribulation. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why aren't you listening to me? Why have you taken a step back from me? Our Lord is representative of us on the cross. When we talk about his atonement and the substitutionary death, we have to understand that he truly represents us on the cross. And he represents us when we feel like we've been abandoned by God. When we don't feel like he hears us. I've been praying for years about this. I don't see anything. I've been struggling with this or that in my life. And I get no relief. Every now and then the answer is, my grace is sufficient for you. He's not going to appear to you or in a vision. Probably. You're not going to hear an audible voice that says, your name, my grace is sufficient for you. He's already said it to St. Paul. He's laid it down to Scripture. We know the answer when it feels like God has abandoned us. Our Lord represents us on the cross, not just in taking our sins upon himself, but to give us an example of how to act when we feel as if God has abandoned us. It's an example of faith that our Lord cries out to his Father. Because after he gets done saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He says, yet thou art holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In thee our fathers trusted, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. To thee they cried, and they were saved. In thee they trusted, and were not disappointed. We've got to look at our being saved, not being disappointed anymore, in his timing, not ours. And it is not wrong to be impatient about it. It is not wrong to ask why it is going on so long, why it seems you are not being rewarded for your fervent and loyal prayers. We say, let's not be selfish. God's working in us and a lot of people around us. You might be doing a very good example of suffering that he wants to show to other people. He works like that. Job, case in point. That when we cry out to him saying why, we have to also say that thou art holy. The cry of our Lord Jesus Christ did not come from rage at his Father because he was suffering on the cross, nor did he cry out in vain. Christ prayed on the cross. I always say that the Psalms are prayers that the Holy Spirit has given us. They are divine prayers. They are perfect. They were not written by men, given us by God. And Christ prayed this psalm from the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He prays there just like he did in the garden. I'm overwhelmed by this, but I still trust. I don't want to take this chalice in the gospel. I don't want to endure this. I know I have to. I don't want to, and if there's any way, but not my will, your will be done. This is the foundation that we have to lay under that question of why that we ask God. Because at the end of the day, that shows our submission and perseverance in times of trial. In times of abject suffering, horrible days in this world, we have to demonstrate to God and to others, being an example of our Lord, submission and perseverance. Because submission and perseverance in your problems will always be rewarded. It might happen tonight. It might not happen in a month. You may not see it on this side of the veil. But you will be rewarded if you submit and persevere in God's will. Our Lord Jesus Christ asked a question, as I've been emphasizing here. My God, why? Why? That's the question. Well, God didn't answer it. Yes, he did. He answered it. But just like he answers us, he's been given a name that is above every name. That every knee should bow and every tongue confess. Not people who are Christians, not good Catholics. Every tongue will confess. Muslim, Jew, Buddhist, animist, rank atheist, heathen will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will either bend the knee voluntarily or he will bring his scepter down on the back of their knee and bend it for them. But they will bend the knee to him. Why did God forsake him? St. Eusebius of Caesarea, he tells us why. He said the answer to the question of why had he forsaken him was to ransom the whole human race, buying them with his precious blood from their former slavery to their invisible tyrants, to unclean demons and the rulers and spirits of evil. That's why he seemed to forsake him, so that he could pay a ransom for you and me. But there's another reason as to why. Because that love of Jesus Christ himself for his people might be set forth. When we look at a crucifix, after you get past the horrors, and you should walk through those horrors, as we do during Passion Tide, walk through those horrors, but to understand that at the end of the day, that is a demonstration of love. You don't find that on Hallmark cards. That's syrupy, superficial love. It's nice, but it's not real love. That's real love. The cross is real love. This is why. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.